The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We are going to begin immediately and start with our impact segment. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. My next guest, I have not had the blessing of meeting, talking to, or knowing, but the book he has authored is very eye-opening and a must-read. He is the director of the Westminster Institute. In his 25 years of government service, he served as special assistant to the president, director of the Voice of America. He was also senior advisor for information strategy to the Secretary of Defense, taught at the National Defense University. I can go on, and I rarely read those kind of accolades, but I think it's important, especially as I introduce the author of the new book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding, Robert Riley. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you today.
Robert, I appreciate this book very much, and I want to ask, obviously, in great detail, some of the chapters and why you wrote this and what it's about, because indeed, America is on trial right now, like never before that I've seen in my life. Before we get into the now, let's talk about then. When did you first begin to think about writing this book?
About 5 years ago.
What prompted you to begin writing a book of all things entitled America on Trial? Why on trial?
Well, you know, we're all used to attacks on America from the radical left. We can go back to the Vietnam era, etc. But there are also some attacks coming from certain conservative and Christian circles saying that we're in this mess because the American founding itself was morally compromised. It was infected by notions of radical individualism from the Enlightenment. And as the forces of Christianity have slowly receded in this country, so this radical individualism has come to the fore, and this we see in the moral dissolution of our society and the pornography, the abortions, the et cetera, you know, the litany, drugs. And so they actually look to the founding as the poison pill, with the time release formula and we're its victims. So that was one reason to undertake the effort. And the other reason was to say, well, if that's wrong, two things. Number one, from where came the ideas in the American founding that we ought to rule ourselves according to our reason and not be subject to accident or fate? And two, if it's not the founder's fault, whose is it? Because we certainly are in a lot of trouble today. So undertaking those two questions took a lot of time, a lot of work, and things, of course, in the intervening years were not getting better in terms of those attacks. And certainly today they've gotten far worse, as you observe.
Robert, are you... I want to choose the word wisely, so let me take a moment and reflect. Are you at all taken aback? Are you caught off guard by what you see today? I mean, in my estimation, it seems like we've kind of escalated in going the wrong way, almost like logarithmically in the last handful of years. Like, this has really gone quickly. Are you surprised by this? Do you have comments about where we are now versus just a handful of years ago?
Well, you know, in a way I'm not, because The foundations of this country have been undermined so consistently, most particularly by the education system and the universities. When we go over the founding documents from Adams and Washington and so forth, we see that they consistently claim that the truths to which they appeal, like those in the Declaration of Independence, are from a transcendent source, and they're immutable, and that the laws of morality are immutable, and man's nature also doesn't change. And they also had a deep conviction, almost all of them, that man is not perfectible through his own efforts, that he's a sinner, that he requires redemption. They look to Christianity and Christ's grace for that redemption and perfection, which they knew they couldn't achieve by themselves, and they didn't think the government was the vehicle through which it would be achieved. They didn't look to the government for man's self-perfection. Now, what I see today in the streets are not people who say, well, we're sinners, you know, we have disordered souls, we need to do penance. They say, well, there's only one reason why we're not already perfect, and that's somebody else's fault, or it's the institution's fault. So we need to attack those people. We need to tear down those institutions, without which we'd already be in a state of perfection. So they're operating under this kind of illusion, and they also would explicitly deny that there are objective moral truths that are immutable, those to which our founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I can give you a quick snapshot.
Please.
Yeah, let's just go immediately to a statement which I have in the book from President Barack Obama in The Audacity of Hope. Here's what he wrote, quote, "Implicit in the Constitution's structure and the very idea of ordered liberty was a rejection of absolute truth. The infallibility of any idea or ideology or theology or ism and any tyrannical consistency that might lock future generations into a single unalterable course," unquote. So the truth does not set you free. The truth enslaves you, you see, from his perspective. That's about as an explicit a rejection of the founding principles of the United States as I've read anywhere. Now, it takes sort of generations of miseducation to arrive at a statement like that, to think that the principles underlying the Constitution are really no principles. There are no immutable transcendent truths to underlying it. And that's how we end up with what we have today. So it's a common, you know, I put in one phrase, we won the American Revolution, but we lost the sexual revolution.
Right.
You know, the idea that there are no moral standards by which we're obliged, that have a transcendent source, and that we just can't do whatever the heck we want, but what we ought to do. And those standards, they come both from revelation, but they also come from what our nature is as human beings. And if you deny the existence of that nature and think we're pliable, we're mutable, we can be changed through force and usually through the force of the government, then you get movements like this that use force in their attempted revolution. This isn't a period of deliberation and reasoning together. It's the attempted application of force to change things through their own will and power.
And they're tearing statues down, and for the most part, we as a cumulative country, and obviously we can get into the complexities of that, we're letting it happen.
Well, if that doesn't exhibit how thoroughly undermined our belief in the legitimacy of the founding principles of the United States are, I don't know what is. If you're not unwilling to keep the Lincoln Memorial from defacement, if you're not willing to protect the statues of the founders of the United States, if you think that General Grant, the savior of the Union and the opponent of slavery, should have his statue torn down, then what? Believe me, there'll be a statue put in its place. And it won't be one they like. It'll be one more like the statues put up in the Soviet Union or in Nazi Germany, two regimes based upon the primacy of will and force as against the primacy of reason, which was the foundation of these United States. So, yeah, the fact that you won't defend the statues means that you sort of gave up the principles which those statues represent, which those men represented and often gave their lives to advance and protect. You know, this is what I'm angry about. This. This, my book is dedicated to the memory of my uncle, whom I never met, after whom I was named, who was killed in World War II. He didn't have to go. He was too old to go. He insisted on going. My oldest son is a young Marine Corps officer. We have generations that thought this country had something worth fighting for and, if necessary, dying for. How could we have forgotten what that is? I would say in so short a time, but as I said earlier, it's taken a couple of generations to erode the confidence in these ideas and the belief in them as reflecting objective reality and transcendent truth. But it's still worth fighting for. It's still worth defending. But it has to be articulated. It has to be enunciated. And so that was why I wrote this book, which was to do that, precisely to lay it out.
The book is entitled America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding, written by my guest, Robert Riley. In what you just shared, Robert, I think it begs the question, do we want to know? Do we want to be literate? There's a payoff, as you alluded to a few moments ago, in a mentality that would blame others. And obviously, there are challenges that our country has faced, and maybe some of the founders had some of their own challenges. But my goodness, when you have virtually a curriculum book like Howard Zinn's book that's been shared all across major universities and college campuses, and the younger generation believe that our country was just founded on genocide and all the other horrible things. Racism obviously is at the forefront. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to come to the conclusion this is where we are. People don't know. But again, here's the direct question. Do we really want to know, Robert? Do we want to read a book like this that articulates clearly the founders and what they stood for and what this country was founded on? Do we really want to know?
Well, I think in a way there's a desire not to know. And it is ignorance which provides the level of confidence you see these people in the streets exhibiting, you see. If they knew a thing or two, they might be a little more qualified in their opinions. And the slavery issue, which you just mentioned, is one of the more curious, because slavery was the norm throughout recorded history. The question is, it shouldn't be why was there slavery. It should be, well, how is it that it ended? And why did it end?
That's
it?
Right.
And to whom did it occur?
That's
that
right.
Slavery was an evil. And then we go back to the American founders. They, by and large, thought so. That's why they put in the Declaration of Independence the principle that all people are created equal. And it was on that basis that the eventual elimination of slavery in this country was achieved at great cost. That's how it ended. That's the question they need to be able to answer, not why did slavery exist. It always existed. And the silly 1619 project of the New York Times, they're very careful to say that the English introduced black slavery to the United States, which, of course, is true. But slavery was already here. Slavery had always been practiced by the Native American tribes. Slavery was the norm amongst them, as slavery had been the norm everywhere else. So again, it's where did slavery end? It ended first in Great Britain and then next in the United States on the basis of the same principles that man has these inalienable rights, that he's made in the image of God, and that it is therefore wrong to rule him without his consent. Now, when that principle is so explicitly spelled out in our founding documents, you really have to desire to not know a lot, not to admit that they were what caused the end of slavery. The foundation of this country is what caused the end of slavery here.
Robert Riley is my guest. I want to be careful in the short time we have to ask you, I think, questions that are poignant and need to be asked. So I'll ask one more, and then I want to give you ample time to share anything else that you want to convey to the listeners, either about the book, the state of our country, or anything else on your mind. I think the last question is, and it's a direct one as well as maybe sounding rhetorical, where do you see things going from here? You mentioned you were angry. You've dedicated your life to educating and writing. You've written many powerful books, and yet here we are at a time where the perspective and the perception of America is really being skewed and attacked. Where do you think we're going to go from here? Where do you hope we go from here?
Well, I think we have a choice. It can really go either way. We're really profoundly in danger of losing our republic. It doesn't have to happen, but we have to do certain things to prevent its loss. And we've talked about some of those already. If we want to think, well, it's gone too far, we've already lost, just let's roll over and give up, then the inevitable will happen, our decline will accentuate, and we will lose this republic. We don't need to. As bad as things are, we have a path to recovery, and the path is our founding. If we return to its principles, demonstrate the truth of those principles, to see the great good that their implementation has led to in this country, which has improved the lives of more human beings than in the history of the world, and that if that ought to be continued on both moral and practical grounds, then we need to fight for it, we need to defend it. And we need to articulate those principles and the reasons for their truth. Mm. This can be done. It's been done before.
Yeah, that's
the
for
worst
sure.
thing would be to give up.
Yeah, I said last question, but as you shared, another one came to mind. I would be remiss if I didn't invite you at least to share some thoughts. Maybe they're few. Maybe they're many. On the day and age we live with the information age, technology, social media, mainstream media, all of these informational outlets by which we are force-fed in some areas what may be perceived as the truth and shared as the truth, and that may or may not be the case. What about the media? Are they culpable in the climate in part of this idea of who we think America is and the founding versus the truth of things?
Yeah, I think so, because the media is by and large unremittingly critical and lays blame constantly and heavily and points to what they think is the fundamental corruption of this country, the fundamental racism, ad infinitum. We could continue going on. The good news is the media has gotten so far from reality that many people, maybe most people, understand that it no longer reflects reality at all. The media is in its own make-believe world. And the internet and some social media has sort of come to the rescue of reality. Of course, there's a huge amount of nonsense out there,
Yep. But
it also has corrective powers. It can expose the false stories. It can expose the fake news. And it gets a lot of traction by doing that. And the other thing I would say about the internet, which is a tremendous good, is that it's all there. You can find all the founding documents. You can find their defense. You can find the founders. You can find history that is told in a truthful, critical, analytical way. So you can arm yourselves for the defense of this great nation.
Now, I want to respond to that, and I don't want to be argumentative. I agree with you, but also just recently we're starting to see something that's somewhat unprecedented, and that's we're starting to see censorship in social media outlets, specifically with the coronavirus and some, and this is obviously not the topic we're talking about, but I don't remember the last time I've seen censorship beginning in social media. So you say it's all there, but there's a part of me, I don't want to come from fear, but I'm like, is it always going to be there? Are we going to start, we see statues being torn down. Are we going to start seeing archival, historical documents and relevance? Are we going to start seeing those wiped clean as well? Is that paranoid on my end, or is there some level of maybe possibility in that?
Oh, no. Well, I stand corrected on your worry in that respect. There's certainly that's in its infancy, sort of, but it can get worse, and it gets worse because you have the same kind of corporate culture that you do have in the media culture, which is the same as the educational culture, which is no surprise because these people went to the same schools
Yep. And
received the same propaganda. And that's why they're all behaving in the same way.
Yeah. Robert Reilly,
for those who are searching for it.
Say that again. I talked over you. I apologize. You said what?
Oh, sorry. I just meant the truth is still there for Right. Those willing to search for it.
Right. Robert Reilly is author of the new book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. Robert, anything, and take as long or as little as you'd like, anything else you want to share about the book, about the state of the country, maybe something you've not made mention of, anything you want to share in closing. And I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you for it, and thank you for writing this book.
Well, I'm so grateful that you gave me the time to talk about it with you. I'll tell you one thing I have in the book that might be illuminating to your audience, to readers, and that is I make a comparison between the French Revolution and the American Revolution. I do that for two reasons, because those who say we were the product of radical enlightenment thinking, of radical individualism,
Yep. No,
you really want to see what that looked like?
Yep.
Go look at the French Revolution. Look at the terror, the blood in the streets. Look at the absolute government it created, et cetera. And then contrast it with the American Revolution, which was its antithesis, its opposite. Now, what is happening here is a imitation French Revolution. They have sort of adopted French revolutionary principles and the tactics of the Jacobins and possibly its terror to achieve their ends. So you're going to see where that comes from and where it leads, the French Revolution, contrasted with what was achieved here, which was a sane, reasonable government of consent and self-rule. That's what we want to keep. That's what we need to defend.
Again, Robert Riley is the director of the Westminster Institute, author of America on Trial. Robert, God bless you. Thank you for writing the book, and maybe in a few months we'll follow up and maybe we'll start seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, because Americans are tired of, well, what's going on, and we've decided to stand for our country and push back in any ways that we can do this. Maybe it starts by us making the commitment to be more literate and educate ourselves as to the founding of our dear country.
Well, I think so, and the choice is pretty clear. Anyone who wonders about the choice could go reread or watch the president's address out at the monument of Roosevelt and Lincoln and the, please, I'm lapsing, you know, the name of the great monuments carved in the mountainside where President Trump gave a speech just...
Yeah, the Mount Rushmore, that they would like to take away.
We have a recovered memory. The Mount Rushmore speech. That pretty much that was rich in the meaning of the American founding.
Yeah. Robert, God bless you. Thank you for your time today. I hope and pray, Lord willing, we'll do this again. Thank you.
Terrific. We'd love to. Take care.
Okay, you as well. You know, Robert made mention, we talked a little bit about the media. There's a new study out, a new survey. 8 in 10 Americans say the media is biased. We're going to take your calls and talk a bit about our media, that and much more as we continue next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Gold Financial Group, Robert Cordova, and the people there that simply want to say, buy gold, buy silver. I said Robert Cordova, Mike Cordova. Anyway, here's the point. Do you own gold? Have you ever thought about investing in precious metals? Last time I looked, it skyrocketed. It was over $2,000 an ounce a few days ago. And just a handful of weeks ago, it was around $1,300, $1,400. So that kind of says and speaks for itself. Maybe you just want to educate yourself. They provide a free gold financial guide. 800-214-9023, 800-214-9023. I went to school with a Robert Cordova. There you go. Okay, I feel better now. Call them. Ask any questions. They're there to serve you, honor you, inform you, educate you, and ultimately point you to buy in precious metals, gold or silver. Gold Financial Guide. Here's the number. Call them. 800-214-9023. 9023 800-214-9023. Make that call. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. One footnote in regards to the previous interview I just did. I want to tell you what a humble guy Robert Riley is. I received an enormous amount of information, bio, the whole thing. I did not realize he's the president of Hillsdale College. This man, you need to read the book. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm in the process of reading it. It will challenge you. It's not like in the old days we used to joke about reading books with a lot of pictures. It's not that. It is a deep dive. But my goodness, when you talk about our country and the founding and the tenets and the whole headline, the name of the book, America on Trial, this is a worthy read for anybody that professes to be a legitimate United States citizen. You care about this country, where we're at. Read Robert Riley's book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. There is a new Gallup poll that says 86% of Americans believe there is a great deal or a fair amount of political bias in the way the media covers news. Number of Americans that see bias in the media is up almost 25% from 62% in 2007. Not only do most Americans recognize media bias, they also believe it's intentional. When asked about the views of news organizations they distrust, 79% of poll respondents said those outlets were, quote, trying to persuade people to adopt a certain viewpoint, end quote. When the news is inaccurate, 54% of Americans think it's because reporters are, quote, misrepresenting the facts, end quote, while 28% believe they're just making them up entirely. More than 8 in 10 Americans, 84%, assign the media either a great deal or moderate amounts of blame for political division in our country. So here's the question at hand. The phone lines are open, 888-528-2557. I would invite you to share your thoughts about the media. Do you watch it, read, listen? What about that? Are you one of the overwhelming majority that say there's this bias, no doubt about it? And if you do believe there's a bias in the mainstream, do you partake in it? Do you spend time thinking that, well, I need to be informed, so I'll watch local news or I'll turn on said channel? 888-528-2557. Now, I think for a lot of you, you would probably abstain from having this conversation for a number of reasons. Maybe at the top, it's like, well, maybe you don't want to say, hey, I know the media is biased, but I still watch it. What about the media? Do you think that those that may come from a conservative fabric, where you hear terms like the liberal media, you instantly think, well, that's ridiculous. The media is it? Is it well-balanced? Do you think that we live in a country by which we've got hundreds of channels, scores of outlets, that if you look hard enough, visually, I'm talking about television media, that you'll find all sorts of different views? Or are you one that says, oh no, we've got some problems here? And maybe you choose to not be a part of the problem. I, for one, on this program, have talked a great deal about limit your media intake. Directly, recently, as it applies to COVID-19. Now, I'm almost on the program saying, I don't watch any mainstream media. I refuse. I'll maybe every once in a while tune into the local news radio station that locally here. At the top of the hour, they'll do a national cast. And even that I listen to and I'm like, that's 3 minutes I'll never get back. There's an undeniable bias. And there's kind of like an anger. How say you? We have a few open lines, 888-528-2557. I'm going to break early, so that way Daniel can screen a lot of the calls, but all I will tell you directly is, please get in on the conversation more sooner than later if you want to weigh in, because we only have one segment left, and I look at this new study Gallup puts out, 8 in 10 Americans say the media is biased. Is the media biased? Do you like the media? Maybe you're someone that doesn't necessarily self-identify as a Christian. Maybe you're somebody that you embrace so much of the tumult we're seeing in our country right now, that you believe the country was founded on false tenets and that it is time for a change. And I recognize statistically 35% of the listeners don't agree with most of what I say. So if that's you, call. I'll even move you to the front because I embrace disagreement. I think we have to have conversations about disagreement. But what about the media? That's mostly the direct question at hand. Do you think it's biased? How much do you watch? Do you have favorite programs? I would love to hear from you. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. We have two open lines. Please call now. When we return, we will go right to the phones. 888-528-2557. What about the media? Is it biased? We'll talk more about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. There was a new Gallup poll out that says most Americans, 8 in 10, say undeniably they believe the media is biased. So we're just inviting you to call and share your thoughts on that and anything else you want to communicate. We have a full board, only one segment to do this, so I want to take as many calls as I can. Let's begin with Terry in Anaheim. Terry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Why that we're past bias. It is propaganda, and I can't believe that it's going on in America, and I think a lot of it is happening because they're not taught in school what propaganda is. And we don't even, this is like watching World War II things happening, and it's happening here in America, and I'm astonished at what's going on.
So, not a great connection. Terry says it's beyond bias, it's propaganda. Interesting. Let's talk to Marco. I think, hopefully, in Rosemead. Marco, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. It's Marco. I get called Marco a lot. Let me.
Are you on a train?
Pull over real quick here. I'm in my truck, but I'll pull over. Give me one second here.
Okay. We can come back to you.
Okay, I'm right here. No, I'm fine right now. Okay, so anyways, I was calling. I was born in Cuba. And we left there in 1959, 1960, when Castro wasn't going to make it a communist country, and people were already being deceived there like they are here. And I do believe that the media is very biased here. I was at the Dream Center over there for a week about 5 or 6 years ago and ran into another Cuban who I had asked him about. He had just recently come from Cuba, and he was homeless here at a park in L.A., and I asked him, what is really happening in Cuba? Is it really bad, or are we just, we just think that because, we're Cubans that have been kicked out of there, basically. And he said, it's terrible that the media there tells them that we are a terrible country, that we're murderers over here. And he said that he was better off here homeless than he was in Cuba. That's kind of what, the media is trying, has been trying to take over for a long time. But I think we've been deceived thinking in America that Satan, when people came here to escape religious persecution from England, that Europe, that we all of a sudden, I think for many years have thought that Satan wasn't going to touch America or something.
Well, I think many of us are, at the very least, those thoughts are going through our mind in this day and age. Marco, thank you, and thank you for pulling over. Thank you for listening to the program. Bill, I'm sorry, that's not Bill. Bill is there. Bill in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, hi, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. I do feel that the news media is a very biased, and it's because they have an agenda. I would also encourage, I remember one time you said not long ago, Frank, on one of your shows, I believe as believers, we need discernment, and that's available to us through the Holy Spirit, so we can be able to discern what is truth, what is not truth, and then and only then will we be able to pray and stand against and engage in the spiritual warfare that's so necessary for the church. As we live in the times that we live in now. And I'll watch so much of the news, and then I'll get tired, and I just stop watching it, because if you watch too much of it, it'll give me nightmares.
Yeah,
for
sure. I mean, even just watch a little these days, it does a real number on your mind. At least I would agree with you. Bill, thank you. 888-528-2557. A new Gallup poll says 8 in 10 Americans, more than 8 in 10, right around 86% say the media is biased. We're just asking for your thoughts. Mark in El Segundo. Mark, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm well, Mark. How are you?
Oh, great. I'm at my war room on Manhattan Beach sand praying to the Lord. That's where I come every day and do my prayer walk. I do listen to some mainstream media. I listen to Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Mark Levin. I listen to the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, Epic News. And then I try to do research on my own and try to kind of, you know, educate myself. And that way I'm, you know, not brainwashed by the social media on the left. I am a believer. I do believe that there's a hostile takeover in our country going on today, and that we have to be well-educated to be able to make a stand when necessary.
Mark, I appreciate your call. Thank you for being so clear and articulate. I look forward to the next time. James in Los Angeles. James, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, thank you, Frank, for having me. You know, it's mind-blowing to see what I'm seeing today in our reporting, that you almost want to wake up and think this is just a big joke or nightmare. But the bias, they're not even trying to hide their bias anymore. It's become a, some of these networks have become a propaganda machine for the Democratic Party. And it's sad to say that because the people just want the facts. But there is no longer facts. It's now a narrative. The narrative being pushed. It's so obvious that my wife, who would never say I will vote Republican, she is turned off. She's been turned off so bad by the left that she'll be voting Republican in this coming election. Mm. And I just found that to be the greatest example of how bad the portrayal is in the media in regards to the truth, that people who say never, never are coming over and they're going to vote Republican this coming election, which is just, it's mind-blowing. That's what I'm seeing.
James, thank you for the call. I would say I've had a handful of friends that have prided themselves on being lifelong Democrats. They've kind of shared the same thing in a confidential way these days with me. Like, they are voting for Trump. They've had enough. Let's take one more call on, is the media biased? Overwhelming number of Americans say, well, duh. Dan in Rancho Santa Margarita. Dan, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I trust the media on everything except race, abortion, guns, Christians, and COVID. In other words, I don't trust the media at all. I often look at the LA Times, I look at CNN, I look at MSNBC, and I encourage other people to look at these outlets just to know how to better frame your argument. I hear the hypocrisy, the media is always touting diversity, but where's the diversity of opinion? There is no diversity of opinion. It's a monologue. And number three, I would say I would encourage Christians to take action steps on the media. Let's write letters to our reporters. Let's call our reporters. Let's write letters to the editor. Let's get involved and do something and not just listen and say how terrible it is. But there's action steps we can take. We can be effective. We just need to, you know, to fight the media. We need to call and report and write letters. We could have a voice.
Well, I do know that what you're saying is absolutely accurate, and too, and I suspect you know something about what you're talking about. I think you've sent me some emails recently. Thank you for doing more than just saying something. And yes, write a letter to the editor. Notify some journalist. If you see a story in a byline and you have something you want to say, convey it. We don't have to necessarily partake in buying everything the media shares with us. And I also don't think that part of the solution is in just, well, and even though I may sound like I'm being completely hypocritical here, because I won't entertain in the mainstream right now. There's too much else going on. But to just say, okay, I'm going to ignore them, I think long-term is not really part of the solution either. I just say it, literally out of survival. I watch so much of the disingenuous reporting now. I saw a byline written by somebody that I like a lot say, "Oh yeah, what time of year is it?" Where they don't even hide it anymore. I think Terry alluded to that, that it's not even a bias, it's just pure propaganda. And I guess I'll just dispel, maybe it's dead in and of itself, the time by which we watch media to be informed. When one doesn't have to really spend a lot of time understanding, okay, what's really going on. Now, if you watch it from an entertainment perspective, that's another story. And I'll clearly tip my hand. I'll be more direct as we move forward to what we hope will be a presidential election. I'm just going to tell you, I do not watch the mainstream at all. Recently, as of a week ago Monday, I record one program, and it's Tucker Carlson. I find him fascinating. And you may say, well, he's got his own bias and slant. Yes, he does. But at the very least, the man is intelligent and challenges those that may want to increase our intelligence versus just be talked down to, which I think is most of the mainstream. This is the Frank Sontag Show.